hiring and offering up to a $10,000 bonus with great benefits, overtime pay, paid holidays, and a pension. Call Transgas of Lowell now at 978-856-2913. That's 978-856-2913.
The Pride Chevrolet 2018 closeout is going on right now. Stop in and save thousands on popular 2018 Chevy models. Find new roads at Pride Chevrolet in Lynn or pridechevy.com.
This hour of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL.
Touchdown! Score! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins will wrap up what's essentially a four-game road trip tonight when they play in Detroit against the Red Wings. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 7 and the faceoff at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The big news from yesterday is Patrice Bergeron is out at least 4 weeks after suffering an upper body injury in Dallas last weekend. Kevin Miller is back in the lineup tonight. Celtics will be at TD Garden to play the Knicks. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 on 105.7 WROR. Al Horford and the Green need a win to stay above 500 for the season.
We've underperformed, and right now we have to work through it together. This is a different challenge that we're facing as a group, and no one's going to feel sorry for you.
Last time the Celtics were 500 or worse this late into the season was 4 years ago. Patriots visit the Jets this Sunday. Former Patriots Ty Law and Richard Seymour are 2 of 25 semifinalists for election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. First-time eligibles Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez, and Champ Bailey have also made it this far. Red Sox lefty David Price was voted the American League's comeback player of the year yesterday, and the Sox have sent a minor league infielder to San Diego for reliever Colton Brewer. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. Think you know sports? Bet on it. Details at sportsbetri.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay? Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the chat.
Nine eight five, the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. How about this? The Bankroll Boys are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England where you can legally bet on sports. Powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. That's how big the Bankroll Boys have gotten.
Well done matching the sponsor to the segment. I like this.
That's right. And I'll tell you, this is the over... What's the name of your podcast there? The
Over Under 98.5, is that
over
right?
Over Under 98.5.
All right. And Lifshatz, I'm told, has been on a fever streak with the NHL. Someone you've bet... 16 NHL games this week.
Yeah, NHL and NBA. I'm in the zone right now.
Okay.
It's one of those streaks.
How many bets do you have going at once?
Depends on the day. I had one yesterday.
Okay, let's say on average Saturday when you have college football going.
I think I had about 13 last week.
13 in one day.
Yeah, okay. I think we were here together last Saturday. We did like a Periscope video, and I was betting on like 7 games at once, and he's just betting hockey. Like, you know, it's like nobody's looking. He's just the guy, oh, I like the over here, and oh, four goals in one period. I'm just looking at him. I'm like, how are you doing this right now? Is all this college football going? So, yeah, we were together Saturday, and like there was action all over the place.
Did you ever wake up in the middle of the night for some of these games you're out of town to see how your bets went?
Yeah, like for instance, last night Gonzaga played in the Maui Classic in Hawaii, and they covered the 11 points, but I woke up in the middle of the night to see.
They were struggling early, too.
They did.
They were struggling early. I heard about this.
And it's Duke-Gonzaga today, which would be I haven't been to a lot of college basketball. It starts at 11 o'clock in the day, so... You know, from 11 o'clock to midnight, it's just all straight betting all day.
Now, how can you keep... and watching and betting and smoking and just feeding into everything.
How can
it's the holidays.
How How the hell do you keep track of all these college teams that you bet on? There's no way that you know the inside track on all these guys.
At this point in the year, I mean, you know these teams pretty well. I mean, you have all the stats on them. You have, you know, all the projections and everything. I mean,
a lot of these guys are freshmen, though. It's like, yeah, like, how can you predict that?
For example, Duke covered every game but last night. But we, you know, we know Duke's covered every single game.
Duke's different. Duke's different because everyone's watching Duke, and a million articles have been written about Duke. But if you're betting on these guys that aren't even ranked,
I think you know some of these guys. Like, there's a name, Taco Fall, a kid from UCF. He's 7'6". Like, UCF's one of the highest scoring teams. Oregon's got Bol, Manute Bol's kid.
Yeah.
So it's like we've been hearing for a while.
Can
about
his kid
these
Bol?
Guys.
Yes. Yeah. He's gonna be Bol. He's gonna be a lottery pick next year. Bol. Yeah. Bol.
Yeah. Excellent. I've seen him shoot threes.
He can?
He actually can shoot threes. Yep.
Jeez, how tall is he?
Bol, I think, is almost 7'6". Almost 7'6"?
Yeah.
7'6"?
I think he's 7'4".
Manute Bol is like 7'5". Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but sometimes, you know, like, what are the chances that you end up being exactly as tall as your father?
No, he's only like an inch or two shorter, but still.
7'3".
Yeah. So if you want your kids to play professional basketball, there's a 7'6" kid that can shoot threes that's out there. So maybe try something else.
Yeah.
All right. Thanksgiving. I think this is a very special Bankroll Boys, because a lot of people, there's nothing to do on Thanksgiving. You're sitting around with people you might not necessarily like. You can lose yourself in the football games. There's three, as usual. Can you tell us what you think about each individual game?
So just quickly, I got to take a couple of L's. Last week on the show, I took the Texans -3. They won by 2. I took Pittsburgh -5. They won by 4.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing right now is shopping the best line, because you could have got Pittsburgh at 3.5 at kickoff, and you could at some point you could have got the Texans at 2.5. So shopping for the best line is the right way to go. But the books have been absolutely on. So when you look at the Chicago Detroit game, it's 3.5 at some places. If Trubisky doesn't play, it might move to 3, 2.5. So,
what are they saying? Chances are he is playing? Isn't that what we're hearing? It's leaning towards yes?
The reports are coming out that he's probably not playing.
Okay.
So that's so it looks like more and more Chase Daniel. And the football doctor on Twitter, who's usually spot on about this stuff, says prepare for Chase Daniel. So I'm gonna roll with that.
Boy, Chase Daniels has got himself a life, huh?
Great backup.
Yep. Yeah, you go to Missouri and you do your job there, and then you just get to sit around for a long time.
Hung out with the Saints, and now he's with the Bears.
Absolutely.
So I'm a square. I like Chicago tomorrow.
Square.
Exactly. It's a square. It's the absolute square play. Even if McDaniels plays, I like Chicago. But the last three times Detroit and Chicago have played on Thanksgiving, Detroit's won.
Yeah, I'm all about Detroit this week. I think that this is short week for the Bears, coming off a real tough divisional game. And now you have to go on the road against another divisional opponent with short week, probably without your quarterback. That spells disaster for me. This is probably going to be a Detroit win, in my opinion, coming off a really good win the other day.
All right. Even without Johnson.
I think you're not going to be able to run the ball against that defense much anyway, so I don't think that you're going to be doing much running of the ball.
And the Cowboys-Redskins spread, obviously, with a new backup quarterback for the Redskins, although how great would it be if we once again got to see Mark Sanchez on Thanksgiving Day?
That'd be awesome.
Like, if you went ahead and just said, you know, let's knock this guy out, let's get another butt fumble just for old time's sake, 6 years afterwards. 8.5 points, the Dallas Cowboys are favored by that one.
Dallas not good on Thanksgiving. I believe they're 2-3, just straight up in the last 5 years. The last two with Dak Prescott. They did play Washington 2 years ago. They won. I don't believe they covered. The opened at 4.5. It's now at 7.5. McCoy's played well for Washington. And this is a division. Whoever wins this game, I think, wins the division. So backing Dallas, that went from 4.5 to 7.5, I think that's a lot of points. But again, a lot of money's going to come in on Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. That line's going to move up. So I'd grab it now if you do like Dallas.
Okay. Now, the most interesting one right now is the Saints and Falcons. And that is a big-ass spread. We all know what kind of numbers that New Orleans Saints have put up as of late. And it's a they're favored by 14 in this game, and the over-under is 60. What are you doing on this one?
So that has teaser protection. The actual line is 12.5 right now. To me, I'm terrified of this game. I don't want to touch this one unless you want to bet the over, but even then, I don't like it. Look, it's a divisional game, and divisional games are always harder to bet in the NFL. They always are different than non-divisional games. That's what makes them very interesting. That's why I kind of like the Lions versus the Bears, divisional game. Non-divisional game, I probably lean Bears there. I just think that 12.5 is a lot of points to be given up, even at home, to Atlanta, who knows the Saints pretty well, regardless of how good they're playing and, you know, how on fire they are, which they look incredibly good right now. I still am not laying the 12.5. Honestly, I don't think that this should be a game you want to bet. I think if you really have to bet it, I would probably tease down the Saints. That would be the only way I'm betting.
I think the most interesting game for this upcoming weekend is, I'm looking at the spread right now of the Steelers-Broncos game.
That's the game I love.
Oh, you love that one?
Yes.
Well, okay, so right now, according to the sheet I have in front of me, you guys gave me, the Steelers are favored by 3 in that game. Yes. That's at Broncos?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what obviously you're going to be putting money on the Steelers.
What would you do?
Does this have bankroll?
This might, because I didn't feel good about any of them last week.
He's doing a square.
And thank goodness, because I would have lost. I would have lost if I would have went with
him
last week.
This could have bankroll on it.
Possibly.
Let it ride, baby. Let it ride. Come on.
What would I do? Oh, I would put my money on the Steelers.
I think the Steelers are going to be they're going to get crushed. They were awful last week. They should have lost by 20. How can you back a team that could barely move the ball last week?
The Broncos.
The Broncos have covered.
Broncos
like
are
six
covering machines.
Are they? Okay, yeah, all right.
This is why you have these guys sitting here.
I'm telling you.
The Broncos are going to win this game outright. I think they're going to. I think there's a good chance that.
There you go. Here's the play.
Yep.
Put the bankroll on the Broncos.
Is that your lock?
So again, I hit last week. I can't remember what it was, but I hit last week on here, and I'm telling you, I'm taking the Broncos this week. That is my favorite play in the NFL. Now, I don't like love it. I wouldn't tell you to put your whole bankroll on it,
sure,
because I don't think there's a lot of great stuff on the board again this week. I think it's the last couple weeks have been really, really tight lines.
This is, but I'm not feeling any action, Rich. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is
right. Now that the number has gotten really large, the last couple of weeks they're kind of backing away.
Yeah, it's a little hemming and hawing.
I don't think I'm going to put my whole bankroll on that. I don't feel as confident. But I'll put some money on it.
I like the Patriots over the Jets, -9. Patriots win by double digits. I know it's a divisional game, but the Jets suck. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Fred, but...
Wait, what? They suck?
They suck. He's aware, Joe.
It's just...
How dare you?
I'm surprised that line is what it is.
Lifshitz, how are you feeling about that one?
I mean, I agree. It's 9 points still, divisional game, but I tend to agree with Joe. I mean, I do think the books are going to need the Jets a lot, so maybe you get some penalties on the Pats.
Pats on the road, too, so you know, be careful of that. But, yeah, I think the Pats roll the Jets this week.
I'm itching for Rich to have a little action.
Let's
here.
Put two on it. Let's put two
boom.
In the bankroll.
Bam, 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 bam.
Boom, boom, boom.
I thought we were going to let the whole thing go.
No. All right,
200 on
the... Once you hit about 800 bucks, you're like, all right, well, that's real money.
All right, so...
I was having fun doubling it each time.
Yeah. Okay. All right, sure. So 200 on New England.
Let's put 200 on New England. And what am I getting locked in at?
You'll have it at 9.
9.
All right, okay. So do you want to go counter them, Rich, and put any money on the Steelers, who you think is a cover? There's the bankroll boys are not infallible.
No, I like this. This would be good action on multiple games for
not
you.
A bad idea. Maybe put 100 on that Steelers
boom!
Game.
Boom! Anti-bankroll boys.
All right. I'll take
Riverside,
the Steelers.
Riverside, baby.
Dan's going to bankroll it.
Interesting. All right.
Riverside.
All right. So what do I got on the Steelers? What's the spread on that one right now?
3.
Okay, 3. All right.
I'm not going to give them the hook?
I'm not Vegas.
Wait.
What's the hook?
The 3.5. The half point. So if it's a 3-point game.
So if a half is the hook.
The Steelers that's are right. Juiced anyways. They're -120. I'm being generous. The
Steelers are juiced.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. One other thing. We got to take the L. Dan and I took the under in the Monday Night Football game.
We did. Oh.
I thought you told us to take the over.
Because we were thinking Mexico.
I said that I was going to take the under in Mexico, but I kind of leaned the over. But all the magic still said under to me. So
you turned that game off.
You know that 70% of the bets in Vegas said over.
Yeah.
And so Vegas lost their ass.
We were getting crushed. I gave out Rams second half that hit, so watched the bet out. Only lost 100 bucks out of it. But this weekend, college football, some big games. Michigan, Ohio State. Right now, the spread is -4. A lot of love for Michigan.
Give me a lock. What's the
You like Ohio State?
I like Ohio State.
I do too. I do too.
A third game, Rich? A third game?
No.
Dude, I know jack about these games.
This is college football.
You can do
We have some real good college picks. This is the week to bet college football. This is the week. This is like
West Virginia, Oklahoma, USC, Notre Dame.
There are some
real big ones.
All right. Well, where can they hear those? Where can they hear your picks?
We're recording our podcast today over under 985. You can find us on iTunes or on the 98.5thesportshub.com.
Oh, yeah. The stoned cold lock of the week.
Who do you like, USC, Notre Dame? What's the spread on that?
Notre Dame. I don't know what the spread is. USC's been bad.
Okay. I'm unaware of how
it's
USC.
It's 11.
Okay.
It's 11.
I hope Michigan
lost outright last week.
So. I do, too. Urban Meyer was dying on the sideline last week. They
That's
snuck that game out.
I know. That's too bad.
And I just want to see the whole frantic... Like Ohio State wins, they
I'll put 200 on Ohio State.
Oh,
whoa!
Hey,
plus four, Freddy T.
Look at this.
Everyone's got some action this week. I love it.
By the way, I'm getting sent videos
of
Bowl Bowl.
I'm out.
I'm getting sent videos of Bowl Bowl. Holy Lord.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant plus like four inches.
I think it's so funny when people put their 11-year-olds in like AAU and like have them traveling all around. It's like. You're never, ever, ever going to make any hay in basketball.
Bowl's going to be maybe a top six pick in the NBA.
Remember when if you were 7'6", they just put you under the rim and you didn't score.
Now you got guys launching 20-footers and making them 4 out of 10 times.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he can hit a three, man.
Yes, he can.
He is good.
All right, there you go. It's the bankroll. Even I knew that. I mean, that's how impressive this kid's been calling him since high school. All right, well, there you go. The Bankroll Boys over under podcast. Get involved with that. Everyone now probably rooting for Michigan. And But you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys, coming, and we'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fish Fry. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's all up to. I'd like to see how quickly I can get it.
There's going to be a Toaster song in here somewhere, I'm assuming. Right?
I don't know. Rich did the playlist.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, every Skanksgiving, and this is my ninth with you guys, there's always a Toaster song in there somewhere. They did your wedding, right?
They did.
Yeah.
Out of my pocket.
Yep.
By the way, I just put $200 on the lines to win outright.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Feeling pretty confident. Bears have that great
defense.
It gives
me something to do.
Lions are missing some people.
Well, Trubisky's not playing.
I understand, but no Marvin. Well, Marvin Jones, a coin flip. You know, no Kerryon Johnson. I mean, that's a pretty interesting bet by you. We'll see.
All right. Well, all right. Listen, Galladay's their best receiver.
Let's talk to an expert.
All right. John. John from Vegas, who's been so prolific and gotten through... to so many radio stations,
yes.
To badmouth Sarge.
Should we give him? I'd give him a round of applause. This man's really good.
Absolutely,
this is fantastic, John. Really, seriously.
John. Hello.
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey. Well, listen. What a rung of success! How could we ever have thought the Sarge cycle was going to come through? That was a work of art, my friend.
And might I add, having worked over at the other building at one point, you picked the perfect show to hit.
Yeah, I was worried that they might pick up on it immediately because they're so sharp over there, but I managed somehow to get it under the radar. So that was good.
You tricked the tricksters.
I just had two quick things. I know I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I've been out following Amy Lawrence around in my van just trying to get her at the supermarket. But anyway, my two things I had for you. One, on the honor of Thanksgiving, I want to give thanks to you guys. I actually received a package this morning from the station, and... very much appreciate it. Those two extra large T-shirts are going to come in handy.
Based on our audience, that's all that we make. So they're made to fit me.
And the only thing, secondly, Fred, I've heard you mention a couple times over the past few weeks that this whole Sarge sucks thing, that it's bigger than Sarge now. I know it's not about Sarge. I just want to confirm, for me personally, it's still very, very much about Sarge.
John in Vegas, we're going to have you in studio. We want to have you in studio. We'll send you some tickets. I mean, it's yeoman's work with what you've been doing.
I appreciate it, and I just love the response from you guys, and everybody else has been great. And again, there's a lot more Sark Sucks stuff coming, hopefully. But yes. Only if Sark keeps on sucking, but that's pretty, pretty much a given.
All right. Thank you, John from Vegas. He's very prolific. You got to give the guy a hand. By the way, Friday mornings with Burt Breer are brought to you by Salvador Auto Group. It's tailgating season, and Salvador has incredible deals on Chevy, Ram, and pre-owned trucks. Just off Route 2 in Gardner, and at salvadortrucks.com. Salvador's got your truck. Now, Burt Breer, I'm from MMQB. I go to, Deadspin once a day, and Deadspin has the worst sports broadcasters and or worst sports media personalities. Or worst media personalities. Worst media personalities. So there's you, Britt McHenry, Laura Ingram, someone named Clay Travis, Phil Mushnick, Mike Francesa, Mike Lombardi, and Bill Simmons. What did you do to get lumped in with Britt McHenry?
It's quite an honor, isn't it? I don't know, man. They don't like you very much. It's been, six, 7 years, and events at first it was like that the Madgery guy or whatever his name is, and
McHenry,
then
yeah,
and so that guy's a big dumb goof, and then you got like this other girl who now has taken to going after our website and coming after me, so they don't like me for one reason or another. I don't know why.
But I don't understand why they don't like. What have you done that's so bad?
I mean, I think the start of my the first time I fought with him, I think I was like. I want to say like 2000. It was a long time ago. It was like 11 or 12 or 13, somewhere in there. And I stuck up for Peter King, and because they took some cheap shots at him or whatever, and so I just stuck up for him on Twitter. And I think it was that Madgery guy, the big douchebag. And I
how dare you? He's a very talented writer.
I think like someone that like either him or someone else there took it personally. And now like I've got the whole army of Brooklyn hipsters coming after me, so I wish I could tell you what the problem is. I don't really care. But yeah, they've had it out for me for quite some time.
Yeah, I just don't know why. I guess now that you're calling McGarry a douchebag, that might be part of the reason.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would just tell you this. They've done some reporting on our website, and I would say, like 80-90% of what they've reported about our website has been wrong.
All right.
And it's like over and over and over again. I mean, I'm telling you, like you can go back and if you want to count how many times, like, cause I had to answer for this. If you want to count how many times they said that I wasn't going to be taking over for Peter King and I wasn't going to be in Peter King's spot. They literally reported that a half dozen times, and every single time they were wrong.
All right. Well, look at now you are, the new Peter King. So have a.
I didn't say that to pound my chest or anything else. I'm
no,
just giving you examples.
I said now have a one microbrew and enjoy that.
I'm just giving you an example of the sort of accuracy you get from Hulk Hogan's website.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Goodness. So anyway, back to football. I just laid 200. I say laid now because I'm a bit of a gambling man. I put 200 on the lines to win outright. Am I crazy? What's going on with Trubisky? It's Thanksgiving. This is a way for people to escape. How do you read that game? Not even gambling, but with Trubisky and all this.
Yeah, he's got the sore shoulder. On top of that, I mean, if you went back and you looked at how they won on Sunday night, and it was a little alarming to me that they felt like they had to run him, and. That's sort of where Jacksonville got with Bortles last year, where, they got to the playoffs and they couldn't throw it at all against Buffalo. And they basically, had to do a bunch of option stuff and use Bortles as a runner to move the ball. And as impressive as the Bears were in a lot of areas on Sunday night, you saw that with Mitch and the way they were starting to use Mitch in that game. And look, I think that there have been points where we've seen progress from Trubisky, but then it seems like he backslides for a couple of weeks after he plays really well. He played really well against Detroit the last time, and he's backslid since then. And so, this is an interesting thing to watch, interesting one to watch, because they do look like a team that's capable of advancing in the playoffs. And it's a little bit like Jacksonville that way too, where it's like the big question mark is at the most important position.
I'm watching Monday Night Football, and I'm seeing all the points get rung up over 100 points in one of the best games that the NFL has seen in a long time. And you've been in here, Bert, and we've discussed the importance of defense now in the National Football League. And I think at least the front seven has been devalued this year more than any other year because the best teams out there are scoring 40 and 50 points a game.
I don't know about that, Wallach, because, I mean, who was making all the plays, you know, on Monday night that, you know, that really made the difference? I mean, if you want to really break it down, the defensive player who was making the plays that were making the difference was Samson Ekubom, who is, you know, an outside linebacker. And if you want to go back to the Super Bowl, you know, I think we talked about this last week. It's, you know, Super Bowl 52 really came down to one big defensive play. Who could make the one big defensive play? And it was Brandon Graham. And so I get your point. Like, I get your point in that, like, you want to bring in defensive players who are going to combat the passing game, and that part of it's fine. I think they're more and more playing this sort of way that, you know, they're saying to themselves, if we're going to get in these shootouts, we're going to need somebody who can make that one decisive play. And we're going to need pressure players, and we're going to need corners who are capable of turning the ball over or causing a, you know, a big loss of yardage from the offense. And, you know, that's, I think, sort of the new way to build defense. And, you know, it's not to say that there aren't great defenses in the league, because I think the Bears are right there as, you know, with any defense we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years where they're at right now. But there are teams that are investing in their offense and cutting corners on defense. And one way to cut corners on defense is say, okay, we're going to outscore you, and then we're going to have two or three players on our defense who can make a game-changing play. And really, if you look at the Rams, that's what they are. And I think that's, to some degree, who the Eagles were last year, too.
All things being equal, if you have one of the top picks in the NFL draft next year, are you going, you know, Joey Bosa's kid brother, or are you going impact offensive player? Which is more important?
Well, I think, look, I mean, the evidence would tell us, Wallach, if you want to look back at the, you know, number one receivers in the last 10 Super Bowl champions, if you want to look back at the running backs in the last 10 Super Bowl champions, and the evidence tells us you don't need that. And I know, you know, you come off of a game like we did on Monday night where you see the points all over the place, and it's, I'm sure that there's, you know, 5 or 10 owners out there that are thinking about firing their coaches that are saying, I want that. Like, that's what I want to put on the field. Yeah, I would just tell you that doesn't always win in January and February. And, you know, it's a lot of times the teams that are built through the lines of scrimmage. And look, to their credit, like, I think the Chiefs and the Rams, for all the fireworks, have both invested in those areas too. I mean, the Rams went out and signed Andrew Whitworth from Cincinnati. You know, they've invested in defensive front players. They traded for Dante Fowler. They signed Ndamukong Suh. They paid Aaron Donald. And you look at the Chiefs, the investment in their offensive line, they've got a former number one overall pick at left tackle. They've paid one of their guards. The right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, is a big free agent pickup. And then they got Justin Houston, Chris Jones, and Dee Ford on the defensive front. And so, you know, I understand what you're saying, and after coming off a game like we came off on Monday night, it does look like football sort of turning into 7-on-7. I would just say that the evidence, if we really want to look at the teams that are really good now and the teams that have won championships in the past, it's nice to have those weapons, and it it plays great on a night like Monday night. But it's really, really, really hard to win if you're not solid on the lines of scrimmage.
Well, Bert, I put some money on Ohio State.
So, did you vote for me on Deadspin, by the way?
I don't know how to do that. I would, if you want.
I would appreciate that. I would appreciate the support.
All right. So what do you like Ohio State? You don't like them, do you?
I'm going to refrain from commenting this year. I just hope. I'm just hoping that I'm
hoping
for a good competitive game. How about that?
You're
proud of that win last week?
That's a no.
Did you guys watch our defense?
I actually saw some of that defense game, and I was thinking about you. I'm like, I don't care who you are. You can't be proud of that win.
Urban Meyer about to have a heart attack on the sideline. It was great.
Well, when you're up against a juggernaut like Maryland.
I got our head coach, like, basically having a heart attack on the sideline. I got Zolak freaking taunting me on Twitter. It was a bad, bad Saturday. The worst part, guys, so I promised my kids I'd take them to the Grinch on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And I figured because it's a noon kickoff, I'm like, all right, like 3 o'clock show, it'll be a blowout by then. I won't be worried about it. Well, obviously I was wrong about that. I'm sitting in the movie theater watching the game on my freaking phone and like quietly fist pumping and, you know, getting pissed and all that different stuff. And the game wound up lasting until like 4:15 or 4:30. So, yeah, Father of the Year over here. I'll send you guys a picture of me in the movie theater. I look like a real winner in there, especially when my wife's friend Instagrammed the whole thing, didn't realize what she was doing, and then everybody kind of caught it on the back end and saw, oh, my God, there's Bert sitting there on his cell phone while his kids are trying to enjoy the Grinch.
We all do it.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. You got to be pretty psyched about your wife's friend taping you without
outing
you.
Jesus, God.
The best part is she put, like, this black and white filter on it, so it's like the, I don't know, the caption was, like, great crew or something like that. And,
yeah, imagine.
And there I am to my like, I look like a ball of nerves, and I'm just staring into this little screen on my phone.
All right. Well, Bert, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We
you
forgive
too,
you for not coming in, even though that's your responsibility.
that is my fault. I will take the blame for that. I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning, saw my wife in scrubs. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And I forgot that she had to go to work this morning, and I promised like 3 weeks ago to take the kids to school this morning. So that one's on me.
All right. Well, Bert, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All right, appreciate it.
By the way, coming up at 8 o'clock, you voted all day yesterday, and we had a ton of votes as to, for Thanksgiving, which bit in the history of the Touch and Rich show should we break out of the archives and play at 8 o'clock. And there were a ton of votes, and there were several leaders, but we do have a winner. We have a clear winner that at 8 o'clock we will play.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hey, what's everybody doing Thanksgiving? Gobble, gobble, gobble. This is the Money Man, Eddie Money, and I'm having my favorite turkey stuffing and a big old bird with cranberry sauce and lots of gravy. Sit down and have a big old meal, huh? Right here, 97.1 The River Hang. We love you.
Toaster.
I labeled these and I don't have them in front of me.
No, it might not be the toasters. Damn it. Come on, Freddy.
Oh. They dress up in funny costumes.
Oh, is it the Aquabats?
Yep, the Aquabats. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know that. I can't look at them anymore after that Yo Gabba Gabba show that my kids were into.
Wasn't Travis Barker from Blink-182
yes.
in the Aquabats?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
But the guy from the Aquabats is the guy who made Yo Gabba Gabba. And
well, he made some money, huh?
Yeah.
That did pretty well.
Yeah, you think?
There's a story about the guy who invented created Paw Patrol. And apparently he's like lives on his own private island, like drives like sweet like God. Race cars.
Good God. Don't tell me that.
He's like kind
I don't
of
want to know that.
Extreme douchebag. And he's like, yeah, I'm the creator of Paw Patrol.
Jesus.
What's God. Up?
Hey, it's Eddie Money. Guess what? I got in my head stuffing and I got stuffing, I mean, from a thrown away teddy bear.
Really? Just like just eating it?
Yeah,
eating
just eat stuffing.
Well, listen, I mean, it's available. You know, you eat what's there.
Yeah, what are you going to eat that teddy bear?
I don't know why you want to eat. Did you just raid the Toys for Tots truck?
It's funny you should ask. You know how they give the poor kids all the, hey, look at this toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hide in it. And just munch my way through.
Just eat the toys?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very appetizing. I've got
two tickets to Monopoly. Won't you eat the finger guard thing?
Finger cup thing.
The sewing thing. It's
like
fingers.
A thimble, isn't it?
Yeah, thimble. Oh, you're going to eat that thimble or put some gravy on it? That means my urine.
Makes it more digestible, is that what you're saying?
There's nothing like your own urine to seal a meal. An old shoe.
I think that's his new tour shirt.
It's just, you know the Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah.
He's peeing on, like, the thing.
Stop, I know where this is going. I don't need to hear the punchline. I think we're good.
All right. Good. More room in my brain tonight. I don't want to let you go till I eat your stuff. Take me home tonight. Are you going to eat that piece of wood? No, you're not. I'll take it.
piece of wood doesn't sound very appetizing.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the Great Depression,
yeah,
in 1982, when I realized I was never going to make any residuals because I signed my white life away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would eat what they called wood sandwiches.
What is a wood sandwich?
Wood.
Okay, just called it wood sandwich.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't know the concept of a sandwich at the time.
Okay, well, that's good. I appreciate it. Right. Well, so this weekend, by the way, the Patriots finally back in action and taking on the big and mean New York Jets. And, boy, Bill Belichick, he is all about that quarterback that's going to be on the other side. Not Sam Darnold, but, man, get ready for the terror that is Josh McCown.
He's a good player. Smart. Really handles himself well. He's always had a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage, audible plays, change protections, things like that. I think he sees the defense well. Certainly knows what they're doing. He's got a good arm. He's got good size, athletic, can avoid the rush.
He's talking about Josh McCown,
out of
right?
The pocket.
Yeah.
So he's just got a good skill set. He's a very professional guy, team oriented guy.
Yeah.
I've never personally coached him, but that's all I've ever
heard. Really? You've never personally coached him? Thanks for enlightening us on that.
McCown is. I was surprised how he played really, really poorly 2 weeks ago. And it was surprising to me because he's like a solid backup quarterback. I mean, he's 38, but he's a solid backup quarterback.
Yeah, he had, I'm looking at 18 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year.
Yeah, he played
completed
well
last about year. 60, completed 2/3 of his passes.
Yeah, he was good, but he played really poorly. Two Sundays ago.
Did you hear Belichick when he was asked about the Rams-Chiefs game and what it meant for the NFL? And he goes, the Jets. Yeah. That was his answer. It was just like, yep, I'm not going to talk about that. We're talking about the Jets.
The Jets have one good player, two good players, and they're both safeties. And then they have nothing. They paid that cornerback a ton of money.
Tremaine Johnson.
Okay. They paid him a ton of money. The reason I don't know is because they paid him a ton of money and he sucks. So they have the two, May and
Adams.
I thought
he was good to start the year at least. No?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
So they have May and Adams. Those are the only two good players on
Remember
that team.
Remember that first round draft pick, Dean Milner? From Alabama?
Yeah, sure.
That was a guy. Now, he's no longer with the team now, but that was their first-round draft pick 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, and then they got a kid from Ohio State that's a middle linebacker.
Milner was great at Alabama and then showed up and was awful. He got hurt, and then he was awful afterwards.
They have a middle linebacker from Ohio State. I'm flaking on his name. That they picked in the top 10, and he's about 100 pounds undersized. Because they thought the NFL was going just sideline to sideline speed.
Quick.
And then they realized that...
Got to tackle somebody. That's a problem.
That he can't hold up against the run. Yeah. That he's pushed around very easily.
Well, this is pretty fantastic because when obviously you're a member of the New York media and the Patriots are coming in town, there aren't too many things you can do to rally the troops. So Manish Mehta picked the perfect one. And I have to be honest, this article is somewhat funny in some of the ways that he phrases things. Manish Mehta...
He loves... trolling the Patriots
fans. He loves peeing on the anthill of Patriots fans, and even Patriots fans have to respect the artistry of this article that says Rob Gronkowski, once the most feared tight end of the planet, is a shell of his former self and his Patriot days are numbered. That's the headline. Then he goes he's a decrepit version of his former indestructible self, a beaten and battered prize fighter who looks sad and lost.
It's not wrong.
If you love football, you want to remember Rob Gronkowski the way he should be remembered. Strong, powerful, and leaping tall buildings in a single bound. You want to see him crush poor saps unlucky enough to be assigned to tackle him in the open field. You want to see him chugging and spiking beers on the parade float. You want to witness his god-awful dance moves as he tries to pry a smile out of Lord Vader on the sidelines. Alas, that Gronk is gone. Replaced by this prideful, wobbly, 6'6", 268-pound dude plodding along like some tip calculator carrying residents of Del Boca Vista.
Hey, wait a second.
That's good.
I used a tip calculator.
His body is 29 going on 92. Watching him run around on the few fall Sundays he's actually been available is cringeworthy stuff. He's Bernie, and the weekend is nearly upon us.
That's a master at his craft right there.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He said, the Patriot way means one thing and one thing only. Gronk's key card into the gates of the evil empire will be deactivated the minute this season ends.
I don't disagree with that either.
I think everybody does. I think everyone thinks this is the last season. It's over for the best tight end of his generation.
I think that's true, too.
The Patriots' message to their lovable giant will be crystal clear in the coming months. Bag it, Gronk. You're done here. Although the 3-7 Jets, frankly, aren't good enough to take anyone lightly, let alone an over-the-hill four-time all-pro tight end with 77 career touchdowns. In the run-up to Sunday's game at MetLife Stadium, they know the deal deep down. Gronk is a shell of his former self. The hot tub that Gronk lounges in, with or without adult film stars, he did have that one porn star thing, isn't a time machine. His three-week hiatus to rest his bulky back and ankle might provide momentary relief, but it won't be sustainable. Gronk's body has simply undergone too much punishment. Last I checked, he had undergone 9 surgeries, 3 on his back, 4 on his forearm, and 1 on each ankle and his knee. That's painful to think about, let alone live through. When he plays, he's Gronk, Todd Bowles says. Obviously, he's been nicked up a bit, but he's a great player. Only he hasn't shown it every time this season. Gronk, who has 29 receptions for 448 yards and just 1 touchdown in 7 games, hasn't looked like himself since the season openers, and he's had about 7 months to rest up for that game.
Yeah.
He hasn't topped 100 yards or scored since week 1 win over the Texans. He's 49th in receiving yards. Oh, my gosh. Gronk's 3.7 catch, 54-yard average in his other 6 games isn't scaring anyone. Gronkowski is Gronkowski, outside linebacker Brandon Copeland said. He's a dangerous man when he's on the field. Is he? History in your eyes tell two
vastly
different stories.
Look at the picture. He is so thin.
Yeah.
Like, he's really thin. I thought about this yesterday. Can a doctor call us at some point, 617-779-0985? If you have that history of injuries, do you think he's losing weight just to be able to move? Like, he is not nearly as big as he used to be. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he looks like he's 50 pounds lighter.
He said Belichick knows it. That's why he wanted to ship his damaged goods to former apprentice Matt Patricia in Detroit in the offseason. Gronk admittedly killed a potential trade to the Lions because he didn't want to play for another quarterback other than Brady. There's literally a 0.00% chance that Gronk will make the $9 million base salary he's scheduled to earn in the final year of his contract in 2019. The Patriots will save $10 million when, not if, he's off the books. They said that Hollywood, it goes, however, it always seems a matter of time if Gronk will be trash-talking and flinging guys around in the squared circle, doesn't it? He's talking about the wrestling ring. He goes, Hollywood also beckons. Sylvester Stallone has even counseled Gronk about the perks of action movie stardom. All of it makes perfect sense. Gronk killing the bad guys and delivering cheesy one-liners. It sure beats the alternative. Yo, Adrian, help. I'm stuck in quicksand.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong.
He is Bernie, and the weekend is coming. Might be one of the better lines in sports writing in a year.
Yep. And he's not even from the Post.
Right.
Yeah.
As I said, there's no one who does it better than Manish Mehta. Nobody.
I have a friend that we saw Bert Breer and Manish out at a bar, and my friend was like, that's Manish Mehta. Do you think we can talk to him? I said, absolutely. And he was so impressed. He talks about it all the time. All right. Well, Rich, you put out the question yesterday. What bit would the people on their Twitter, would they like to hear us as it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? And quite frankly, not really invested in the show.
But for Thanksgiving, we thought we'll do something that we almost never do, and that's reach all the way back into the archives and let you choose one bit from our history for us to bring back out into the light of day. And we have a winner, and we will play it next.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.